Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert and noted author. You can find his books at Next Chapter Books. TotallyIowa.com. Iowa the Business Report is his weekly show, and he joins us from KXEL, where he produces the Iowa Politics Report. Hi, Jeff.
Did I hear you say before the break, oh, sweet Jesus, do we have a lot to discuss with Stein?
We could name this the segment that. Sweet Jesus, let's get Stein in here.
Yeah, what's been new since we talked?
Okay, let me ask you. Let's start off with the big one is that, okay, I know he's tweeting. We haven't seen Trump since he got back on Monday night. And he, you know, he was laboring pretty bad to breathe. I mean, it was clear that he was not well.
He had just gone up the steps.
Well,
you have been winded going up those steps. Ava Perone balcony or whatever he was trying to do.
There's an elevator, for goodness sakes. But I mean, I guess that doesn't make the.
No, then you and everyone like you. You see how I'm setting this up, would say, well, he obviously was too sick to take the stairs.
Well, no, the main entrance is on the ground level. That's how you usually go in the building. But because he wanted to film the promo video. Yeah. I love his, you know, he got winded when he pulled off the face mask. That's not exactly bestowing confidence that things are well.
Well, you know, no one is good at taking those things off.
No.
It's just awkward as all get out. Why I used to wear one.
I know you're wearing them. I know you're wearing them. You're smart. All right. So what's that?
I am wearing one right now. Can you understand me?
Well, I hope you're not doing this in front of other people. That's why we work in radio, is because we can go into a room by ourselves and do this.
It's so much better. Yes.
This is okay. Jokes aside, is he is sick. He clearly has some problems. He is definitely in the demo group that's having the hardest time with coronavirus. He has gone to Walter Reed. He has gotten the cutting edge medicine. He's basically gotten stuff that no one else outside the wealthiest people on the planet will ever get. He is back at home, but he still has not been seen in person. He's tweeting like crazy, but he is still in bed. I hope he's there. I hope he's in bed. I hope he's sequestered. I hope he's keeping away from staff. I hope he's resting, because I do not want him to die. I want him to live, for goodness sakes. But how concerned should we be that the fact that we don't have anything really we can trust from the medical group, and clearly the fact that he has not been in the spotlight, and this is a guy that lives for the camera in the last 2 days, that the fact that this is kind of pointing to the fact that he might really still be pretty sick.
Well, and the reason why we joke about it is the ludicrous nature of so much of this, and how else do you react to it?
Yes.
I mean, 209,000 people now are dead. How many of them would have been infected with the flu anyway? Well, a number, but not this number.
30 to 35,000 people a year die of the flu, seasonal flu, right. Whatever the annual flu, whatever it is. We are far well beyond that, and we're still not even a year in.
Exactly. When I had the Surgeon General on my program, it's probably been a month, and I said, you know, how many of these people would have had the flu? And he said, it's impossible to know other than to say the total number is greater than it normally is, which is exactly what you pointed out. So clearly, he did not look good going to the helicopter Friday.
No.
I don't think. He did not look good in those pictures on Saturday.
No, he didn't. He very much did not.
I thought he looked less well Saturday in the little video that they shot. I will tell you, though, on Sunday, you know, he's back to, you know, he's got the hand gestures down, and you could just really tell that he had been improved. But keep in mind, this is a cycle. This disease runs in cycles. And so if you are, well, like most diseases, I'm not a doctor, but like most diseases. So at the very beginning, when you get treatment, you feel better because your body is introduced to these new things, and or there's a placebo effect. It is not uncommon for people to rally and then fade again, especially then, to your point, Matt, you take someone of his age you take someone, and it's just statistics. He's not old, it's statistics, okay? He's in the group that has the highest mortality rate. He is also someone who is the worst patient in the world, I'm guessing, because nobody can tell him anything. Remember, we talked last week at this time about the first debate and would there be more debates? Because he won't take any counsel other than his own. He has to be the worst patient in the world then. And so they get him out as soon as possible so that he can then do a video telling everybody to stare COVID right in the eye and push it away.
Well, and everything he did on Sunday and then Monday, you're right. Sunday he didn't look as bad, but then he gets the car ride. And then on Monday he puts the tweet out and he does this entire thing, and then he clearly does not look like he's well again. And then he's disappeared from the public spotlight again for 2 days.
And I think it's backlash. I think I'm going to paint a little rosier picture. I think it's backlash. And the reason is, what is the number now? 17, including the Joint Chiefs of Staff, are now either, 17 or
19.
Confirmed.
19.
Okay, 19. See, I can't keep track.
Yeah, can't.
I've been looking at something else today. But now you got the Joint Chiefs who are in quarantine. The story I saw, and I think it was on Politico, and granted, they're left of center, but I use them as a pretty reliable source on a lot of things. The idea was that he was just going back to work in the Oval. You know, it's kind of like the same thing, and you've mentioned this, same thing when he would say, at a news conference, hey, I'm tested, so I know I'm fine. Well, that wasn't the question, Chuckles. How many people might be infected around you?
Mm-hmm.
I also saw something on the Twitter machine from a White House correspondent who, despite having me as a college professor, has become successful, but asked questions about protocols at the White House and where was Trump and what was he doing and how was he interacting, because staff didn't know and they were pimping members of the media to ask on the record so they would find out how they're supposed to act.
Mm-hmm.
and what the protocols were. So clearly, there was no emergency plan. I work for a radio station group. We have a COVID plan.
Yeah.
And so it became, okay, if Stein gets COVID, who covers this? Who covers this? We did it for every person at our two studio locations. They did it for every one of the 44 stations the company owns in the Midwest. We know what happens. They didn't have that at the White House. They didn't conceive that the leader of the free world, forget any of his histrionics about masks, forget him going all around the country and doing public events, forget all of that. You didn't have a plan for when the leader of the free world gets sick? Guess not.
It's that you brought up this White House staff, the Secret Service. I mean, these are people, they're not political. These are not political jobs. These are not political appointees. And right. They are completely in the dark here, or being told it's business as usual and don't wear a mask. He doesn't like them. You know, it's stuff like that, that people are just, there are a lot of people that are really angry here. When you talk about there's no plan in place, and we have a plan here at this station as well. When you have no plan in place, I just think, I remember when W invaded Iraq and had no plan in place. And so it's 6 weeks it took from the time we won said, invasion to a plan in place. That 6 weeks, we ended up losing Iraq in that, and any kind of potential of building a better, unity with that country. We just, it was blown because they did not have a plan in place. That is a far cry. I mean, and that was unforgivable. But you're right. When you look at what's going on in the White House, the fact they don't even have during the eighth month of said pandemic, they still do not have a functioning what happens if the president gets sick, the chief of staff gets sick, the secretary of defense gets sick. They do not have that in place. And that is terrifying.
I had no problem with some of this. And here's what I mean by that. People are going to get sick. World leaders have gotten sick.
Yes.
74-year-old man serving as president. They get sick. Okay. He goes to the hospital. It's out of an abundance of caution. I didn't expect them to tell us that his oxygenation levels had dropped and that he had a fever. No, I didn't expect them to tell us that because, doctors have not told the truth about their patients who are the presidents of the United States in real time forever. Okay, I get it. but then keep him at the hospital. You know, fine, let's see the pictures of him working. Let him do his little video every day. That's fine. Because you try to come back too soon, and you wind up not only infecting more people, but you wind up adversely affecting your own health. I think he could have scored a lot more points, if you will, by simply being a normal patient and not coming out the front doors of the hospital with a big S on his chest and fly back with his own cape.
Yep.
I mean, and this is where we are. And I think this makes your point as well. I was really disgusted by two things that I saw when he first announced that he had tested positive. It was announced he had tested positive. All the people on one side of the ledger who kept whining and moaning and saying, it's a fake. We don't trust him. He's doing this for political points. He's doing this for sympathy. All of that. And I got, I think, three emails literally before I came to work that day, because he announced it just after midnight Friday morning. And I came to work some hours later, and emails from people I knew saying, do you think this is legitimate? Do you think it's real? The fact that that's a question bothers me. Here's what also bothers me. Well, I didn't like the people on one side of the spectrum who said, good, I'm glad he got it. I hope he dies. No, that's the wrong response. But here's what I also didn't like. This is now the narrative by some on the right who are saying it's an inside job. Somebody got the virus in the White House. They did this on purpose. There's somebody who, you know, this is a nefarious. Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's now not his fault he got sick. And I'm not saying it is his fault, but you're now going to blame infiltration into the White House on China or Joe Biden. One or the other. They're the same. I think, oh my God, this is where we're at in terms of political discourse.
I want to look at as well the VP debate really quick if we can, because that's coming up here tonight. And there is, and regardless of if he's sick, we still have a campaign that's going on. Mm-hmm. The problem here's why I think Mike Pence is about to just get thrashed is that he is clearly, after that first presidential debate, he is the only functioning adult that's going to be speaking from the Republican side. And so when you get that, he's going to be basically the person who's held responsible. And at this point, let's face it, this is not exactly high ground he's on. Kamala Harris is very good at arguing cases. This is maybe he'll do better than I think he will, but I think this is not going to be a good night for Mike Pence.
I was looking forward to this almost like this would be the conversation between two adults. Because Biden and Trump both hate each other so much, it gets in the way. And we talked about that with last week's. And I'm not saying they are equal. I mean, I'm just simply saying there was no information in last week's debate. I actually thought there might be a discussion of policy and record, because they both are good communicators. They both are serious of purpose. You have plenty of things in Senator Harris's record that you could point to. Her stands on issues, her time as attorney general. These are valid discussion points. Well, that's all overshadowed, because who's in charge? Who's the designated coronavirus czar of the White House?
Mike Pence, yeah.
So how do you not turn to him and say, Mr. Vice President, with all due respect, and then you know the hammer's coming, but with all due respect, that's code for I have no respect for you whatsoever.
Uh-oh.
With all due respect, how can we trust you to run the nation's coronavirus response when your own boss can't keep it out of your workplace?
Well, and you know what,
and walk off at that point.
Well, there's numbers. I mean, you can throw something out. Like, there are more cases within the White House itself than in the country of Taiwan. Taiwan's got 32 million people. And, you know, it's like, we've done a great job. I mean, you throw a number like that out there, and it just shows you how bad this has gone. Now, yeah, Pence is going to do better than Trump did for sure, because he'll actually use sentences. But at the same time, I still think that, you know, as the for lack of a better way to say it, sacrificial lamb from the, you know, he's the guy that's going to be the face of all this failure and he has to go defend it. That's not a good place to be.
He could have responded. First of all, I agree. He could have responded to various things with facts and figures and pointing out it's uncharted territory. And he could point to certain things that they did well in terms of deploying resources to certain places. He had a record he could have at least with a straight face defended. Now, you might not believe the defense. It might not be compelling to you. But he at least had one. How do you respond with, how do we expect you? You know, it's kind of like, how do we expect to listen to your parenting advice when your kid is a convicted felon by age 18 or whatever? You know, why should we trust you about these issues? You couldn't keep your own workplace secure. And what's Pence supposed to say? You try working for Trump. Well, that's the answer, but he can't say it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. He's got it. It's going to be ugly. Speaking of ugly, let's take a break. Come on back. Let's run these numbers because right now it's becoming harder and harder to see a path for Trump to win this at this point. Jeff Stein's joining us. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Join author Scott Carpenter for a virtual event hosted by Next Chapter Booksellers Friday, October 9th. Carpenter will be joined by Lorna Landvik to talk about his hilarious new memoir, French Like Moi, a Midwesterner in Paris. In French Like Moi, Carpenter guides us through the merry labyrinth of the everyday, one humorous faux pas after another. Through it all, he keeps his eye on what makes the French French and the Midwesterners Midwestern. That's Lorna Landvik and Scott Carpenter Friday, October 9th at 7 p.m. Register now at nextchapterbooksellers.com.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is all digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Café Latte combines a cafe dining experience with gourmet quality food. And right now, Café Latte has reopened to indoor dining at 50% capacity. So come check out their pizza and wine bar, or get a treat from the bakery made fresh daily. Plus, you can still do online ordering and takeout, along with gift cards. Just go to CafeLatte.com and choose from their ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soups. Café Latte is located off Victoria and Grand and online at CafeLatte.com.
Winter is approaching fast, meaning even more time inside. Let Zero Res ensure your home's hygiene for those long months indoors. Zero Res has a 4.9 Google star rating from over 9,300 satisfied customers. Don't trust anyone less experienced than Zero Res. When was the last time you even checked your air ducts? Is your home clean enough to support your health? If not, call Zero Res. Zero Res can clean up the grime, allergens, and dirt in your air ducts and home. Get 3 rooms pre-treated, cleaned, and sanitized starting at just $149 when you call 952-ZERO-RES and mention AM950.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Pilots Progressive Party coming up at 5 today. He has got Lori Jump, Director of Strong Hearts, Todd Lippert, representing 20B in South Central Minnesota, Karen Driver, Special Assistant to President Obama on Native American Affairs. That is going to come up at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Pilots Progressive Party. Jeff, people are wondering how you revitalize Minneapolis after this. Apparently, they have drained the river. They're doing some maintenance, so they've got the river levels down really low in downtown Minneapolis. Apparently, the riverbank is packed with people down there walking around in what is usually under about 10 to 20 feet of water. Jeff, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm right here. Why would you do that?
Why would you? Well, they do the maintenance. They got the, because of the.
Why would you gather?
Well, they're not like right next to each other. It's a big river. I don't know if you've heard of the Mississippi.
I'm vaguely familiar. No, I'm just saying, what compels people to show up and say, I'm going to be on a riverbank that's usually underwater? I'm missing the attraction somehow.
Well, this is the part. It's like you can do all these, marketing campaigns. Hey, look, the river's down lower. Off you go.
Okay, now I understand. Okay, now I'm with you on it. I just couldn't figure out what the attraction was. All right.
Speaking of going, getting lower, there you go. Okay, I'm looking at electoralvote.com. And once again, these guys put out the electoral votes, and they do the math that way. They don't just go with a national poll. Although every other national poll is showing about a 10 to 14 point Biden lead right now. It's a 350 electoral vote to 164 with 24 ties. The more remarkable thing is here we are in October. You should be shoring up your base. Alaska is in play. Texas is in play. Arkansas is in play. And the margins are starting to close, get closer in Montana, Missouri, Tennessee, and South Carolina. This is not the trajectory you want to be going if you're Trump at this point. I mean, it's clearly becoming almost impossible for him to figure out a way to win.
Last week after that first debate, there were some people who said, what do you think? And I said, well, I still think if the election is held right now, he wins. He finds a way to win. And then the COVID came. And the way they handled that makes me think, I don't know what the path is. I mean, you're talking about math. I'm talking about just gut instinct based on that. I don't know how you turn it around in this period of time. Nobody's going to believe economic numbers. Nobody's going to believe about a vaccine. Nobody's going to believe about a medical report. The only thing is if Joe Biden falls over. And based on what we've seen, that's not going to happen. So I agree with you. I don't know what the path is at this point because of the situation they put themselves in.
Well, it'd be on brand for 2020 if something did happen to Joe Biden. But I will say, I think that
– right.
Well, I just think that – let me ask you, we've got about a minute left here, so yeah. Let me just really quick. Some people have said his stance on more coronavirus relief, financial relief, the fact that he said no is him basically realizing, I'm not going to win, I'm just not going to do this, I don't want to deal with this. What do you think? I mean, that was a pretty dumb move by him to basically go out there and say, yeah, we're not going to help the people before the election.
Well, it was one thing to say we're not going to go along with a big $2 trillion bill, and then later say, I'll do individual topic bills. That's fine, except that's been the strategy of his party for the last 6 weeks. He's a little late to that party now, isn't he?
Yeah. Jeff Stein, once again, the Iowa Politics Report. We'll put that out a little bit later on. And, of course, we'll spotlight this interview as well. Jeff, thank you very much. I appreciate the time, my friend.
Have a great week. Talk to you next.
Talk to you next. Crooners tonight, VP Debate. Till tomorrow. See ya.
Better Futures Minnesota's Reuse Warehouse has big news. We have a brand new online store. Check out reusebfm.com. This is a great way to see what we can.